In just one verse as we begin this evening in Proverbs chapter 22, and let's all read together on verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Lord, we do commit this time to you now. Bless your word. Meet with us. Fill our preacher with your spirit. Instruct our hearts. Help us, Lord, to fully have everything else out of our minds and to be able to receive what you have for us all. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. Tonight I begin a three-part series on a good name. And if you want a title, it's A Good Name, Part 1, if that makes sense. In fact, part of this tonight I almost did not include, and I debated for, a good long time, but I decided that I would go ahead and include it, regardless of what someone might think of my including it tonight. I am grateful for the good name Timberline Baptist Church has had through the years. Our legal missionary, David Gibbs, had this to say about Timberline on our 25th anniversary Sunday. And I quote, he said, "You dear people have been used so profoundly by the Lord, and not just to touch Colorado, but to touch the world through the outreach of your church. You have an anointing on your life, and that anointing has been used to reach so many hearts, my own included." On TBC's 30th anniversary, David Gibbs had this to say, "What a great church. What a great job you've done. You and Pastor Penn have literally changed not just a state or a community, you've changed a nation and the world. I've had the privilege of watching the gospel come out of your church all these decades, and it is absolutely clear you've kept the stand that the scripture requires." That was unbelievable that was said. Somebody's been watching our church for decades, and it was our own legal missionary. I say that tonight because the Bible study is simply entitled A Good Name. And throughout biblical history, there have been many who have come and gone, and you know that. And when I say the following names, I need your participation in this, if you would please. So don't hold back on any volume, and I know you will, but please don't. I want you to tell me whether this was a good king or a bad king, okay? Saul, bad king. David, good king. Solomon, good king. Rehoboam, bad king. Jeroboam, bad king. And all the Boam boys, in case you're wondering. Asa, good king. Ahab, bad king. Jehoshaphat, good king. And all the fat fellas that he's in that family. Hezekiah, good king. Manasseh, bad king. Josiah, good king. Oh, you all did pretty good. Alrighty. And by the way, each of these kings received their reputation because of the life that they lived. You have to understand that. None of them were perfect. And the ones that were good kings did bad things. And the ones that were bad kings had a few good things you could put to them. But they had an overall testimony with their name. I mean, you name off Ahab, and the first thing you think of is Gregory Peck. No, you don't think about Gregory Peck. You think about Jezebel. Nobody names their girls Jezebel these days. They name a car that doesn't run right Jezebel. And the truth is, all these names had a reputation that was attached to it. The life that they lived determined the kind of name which they would be, by which they would be remembered. And Solomon now teaches his son Rehoboam that a good name was one of the single most importance that he could have as a king. And notice again Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And it's sad, though, that Rehoboam did not follow this part of his father's advice. but rather he earned for himself on his very own, he earned a bad name, a bad reputation. What does it mean to have a good name? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, it tells us again the importance of a good name. Listen to these words. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And it's talking here about a good name that you carry with you throughout your life and what you'll be remembered for. The word good in the Bible, I'm going to give you some definitions because God puts every word in the Bible on purpose and with purpose. Nothing is there by accident. God did not use a word just to fill in an empty space in inspiration. Every word is there. Every word is pure, the Bible says, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word good and precious and good are all used interchangeably throughout the Word of God and throughout the Old Testament in particular. And the word good or precious or whatever, the way it's used in Scripture, it means this. It's amazing what's included with it. You won't be able to write it all down unless you get the outline, but I'll go through it twice. It means fitting, right, as a thing should be, right and true, desirable, goodly, beautiful, valuable, convenient, favorable, profitable, happy, joyful, cheerful, comfortable, sweet, wholesome, kind, liberal, bountiful, and glorious. That's all included in the word good. It's amazing. God chose these words on purpose and with purpose. Let me give you these meanings once again. And every time you read the word good in the Bible, you can apply some of this or all of it. Fitting, right, as a thing should be. Right and true, desirable, goodly, beautiful, valuable, convenient, favorable, profitable, happy, joyful, cheerful, comfortable, sweet, wholesome, kind, liberal, bountiful, and glorious. And all that's encompassed and enclosed in the little word good. And the Bible talks about a good name, a fitting name, a right name, a name that is as it should be, a name that is right and true, a name that is desirable, a name that is goodly, a name that is beautiful, a name that is valuable, a name that is convenient, a name that is favorable, a name that is profitable, a name that is happy, a name that is joyful, a name that is cheerful, a name that is comfortable. That's an interesting application of the word, I think. A name that is comfortable, a name that is sweet, a name that is wholesome, a name that is kind, a name that is liberal, a name that is bountiful, and a name that is glorious. And that's why he says a good name is better than riches, and it's better than silver, and it's better than gold, and it's better than anything you could have on your own. Kind of a name that a king ought to have. And Solomon, as a good king, wanted his rebellious son to have a good name as well. And by way of application, this is the kind of name that every Christian ought to have as well. And there are many throughout the Word of God who had a good name. A moment ago, I named off good-named kings and bad-named kings, but these are all good names. You'll recognize them right away. Job. The Bible says that Job was perfect and upright before the Lord. Hannah. She is remembered for her uprightness and her prayer life. Joseph, and he may have been a dreamer in his brother's eyes, but the Bible says that God was with him more than any man in the Bible. Daniel, nothing was ever said negative about him. He had a godly testimony. Mary of Bethany is remembered for always listening to and loving the Lord Jesus and always at his feet. Tabitha, or Dorcas, as she was also called. Her name is without blemish in the New Testament. And then there's Phoebe, a wonderful name, Phoebe, P-H-E-B-E. You don't read hardly anything about Phoebe, but what you read is good. She had a reputation of being good and wholesome and a servant of the Lord. Really an amazing lady that she was. And the list could go on, as there are many in the Bible who had a good name, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm reminded, by the way, of the story in Acts chapter 11, where the disciples had received a name from those who did not like them. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word Christian simply means an imitator of Christ, a little Christ, or literally a follower of Christ. And that the word Christian was not used before that. The word the way was, or those who believed, was used, but not the word Christian. And the word Christian was used for the first time in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And we are living in a day when a person's name means less and less. And I'm going to bring up the past here just a little bit of American history. For example, the name President Clinton had become a byword among the American people. I read an article which stated this, quote, President Clinton has successfully turned the White House into an outhouse, end quote. And that's very accurately said. And what other country has had a president nicknamed $3 bill? Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is this is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to ask some questions before I bring some application tonight. Do you have a good name among your family members? On the job? In your neighborhood? At the grocery store? With IREA? With the gas company? With your trash collector? I know of a church that said that the trash collectors had to come asking for their money, and they got red tagged every single month and did not pay the bill until they come asking for it. In fact, the pastor of that church said to me, it's not late until they come asking for it. And I thought, what a very sad testimony. Testimony. What about your phone company or your internet provider or Visa or MasterCard or American Express or Discover or Walmart or any businesses that you frequent? Do you have a good name with your landlord, with your bank, at your church? Do you have a good name? You see, the Bible says this is one of the most important things that a person can have is a good name. Thus, part one of three tonight. If you have a bad name with the people because you have a good name with God, well, that's okay. In fact, the Bible even tells us if you suffer for doing what's right, that's okay. But the Bible then says if you suffer for doing something wrong, that's on you, and you've ruined your testimony. I'd rather it be said of me that I am so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good than that I am so earthly minded that I am no heavenly good. In a prayer in the U.S. Senate, Peter Marshall, if you've ever seen the book, The Prayers of Peter Marshall, I've read through a good part of that. Here's what he pled in one of his prayers. He said, O God, when we are wrong, make us easy to change. And when we are right, make us easy to live with. Boy, he had it right, didn't he? And some believers have chosen riches over a good name, and that is what Solomon warned Rehoboam about. And who was Solomon? The richest man in the world. Who was Solomon? He had everything that heart could wish. The Bible says his heart was so full because of everything that he owned. Amazing thing. See, it's interesting that he even had a zoo. We studied that years ago. He had a zoo that was on top of his property. Amazing thing. A rich man with a lousy name is no testimony at all, and a poor man with a good name is obviously a better man. So my challenge tonight is this. How can we make ourselves a good name? How can we do that? Are there practical ways? First of all, be a good Christian. People who set out to have a good name usually end up with a bad one. Pastor, didn't you just say be a good Christian? I did. But people who set out to have a good name usually end up with a bad one. However, if you are simply the best Christian that you can possibly be, a good name will naturally follow. That's the logic of it. This may sound contradictory, but you do not become a good Christian by trying to become a good Christian. You become a good Christian by doing the things that please Christ to the best of your ability. Two points on that. Find out what pleases Jesus and do it faithfully. Secondly, find out what displeases Jesus and avoid it constantly. So therefore, we have this admonition. Just be a good Christian. Try to be one. Just be one. Find out what pleases the Lord. Practice that. Find out what displeases Him and walk away from it, you see. Number two. This is odd to even have this. It almost sounds the same. But be a good human being. We all in this room are human beings. Most of us anyway, I believe. We are human beings. And perhaps that is included with the first point, but I really think it's different. Shortly before David died, he admonished Solomon in these words. He said in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore." And then he ended with this statement, "And show thyself a man." I think that's been misunderstood through the years. Was he asking Solomon to be manly? You know, to work out with weights and be strong and all the other things? No, he wasn't doing that at all. He was admonishing his son not to live like an animal. He said, "Show yourself a man." In the writings of Ecclesiastes, the words are these, "I am more brutish than any man." Very interesting. The word brutish means more like an animal than like a human being. And Solomon tells his boy, or I should say David tells Solomon, "You show yourself a man. Don't be an animal. Don't live like a barnyard animal. Don't act like an animal. Be a human being that God made you to be." It's sad to say, but many believers today live more like animals than they do like human beings. They follow their nose wherever it goes. Wasn't that the toucan in the Fruit Loops commercial many years ago? "Follow my nose wherever it goes." The word brutish in the Bible literally means a man or a woman is led by their nose, by their eyes, the hunger of the flesh. The third and final point that I give you tonight about what it means to have a good name, I said, first of all, be a good Christian. Secondly, be a good human being, not animal-like. But thirdly, follow the example of Christ. You know we're admonished to do that in the Bible? John chapter 21 and verse 25. When was the last time you heard a sermon besides from me preached on this verse? John 21, 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And there are two ways to follow the example of Christ. Let me give you those tonight. And I'll bring this Bible study pretty much to a close. First of all, follow His steps left to us in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Follow the example of Christ. Just follow the example of Christ. It's interesting today, there are so many believers that are talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think that we need to do that. But they're saying that the only teachings that we Christians ought to be following today are the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Because he was the person that was supposed to go to the Gentiles, and we're all Gentiles. But wait a minute, look what Paul wrote. He said, "You follow the example of Christ." Where's Christ found? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all throughout the Old Testament. You cannot leave out the Gospels, and you cannot leave out the example of the Lord Jesus. And secondly, and this is controversial, but I really am not worried about the controversy, you follow the steps of men who follow the steps of the Savior. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And then again in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." How many times have I quoted Roger Carr? It just fits. Roger Carr said to me as we were sitting in a restaurant up in Woodland Park, he said, "I'll follow the pasta as long as the pasta follows the master." And I thought that was a wonderful advice. It's biblical. It's from the Apostle Paul. And there are those today that say they're so spiritual, they say, "Well, I don't follow men. I just follow Jesus." I guess you're disregarding the good examples that some men have. And we're supposed to follow those things. Good examples, not bad examples, but good examples. So let me ask you a question. What kind of a name do you have? When I was a college, I hate even telling this story, but I'm going to tell it and tell on myself. When I was a college student, I got myself a name that I had fun getting, but it didn't have fun having. I became the funny man on campus. They called me a fellow by the... I worked with a man by the name of Daryl Nichols. Daryl Nichols was in the entertainment department, skit department of the school. And he and I would do skits together, and we were funny. I have to be honest and say, we were funny. And I got, they called me his understudy, and even though Daryl became quite the man of God at a later time, in college he was known as the campus clown. He and I did skits together, and our reputation became that of two very funny comedians. I'm in Bible college. Am I supposed to be a comedian in Bible college? Well, I became concerned about my name, and I wanted to change, so the Lord gave me an opportunity. I was opportunity to change that I was called upon to do a serious skit in chapel advertising the campus prayer meeting. And I stepped onto the platform with my jacket and my tie, and I had the name of Abraham Meir Shalal Hashbaz. And if you're wondering who that was Isaiah's boy, Meir Shalal Hashbaz. Well, when I stepped out onto the platform, there was this low laughter just started when I stepped onto the platform. You could hear it. I can hear it right now in my mind. It wasn't an out-and-out hearty har-har. It was just a low roar of a laugh. And me, as Abraham Meir Shalal Hashbaz, was a businessman, a Jewish businessman who had been visiting Jerusalem's Wailing Wall. Well, upon my entrance, the entire student body broke out in low-level laughter. They thought it was going to be funny again, but that didn't happen. And my challenge was that the student body come to the prayer meeting. That particular skit changed my on-campus reputation, because a name's important. It's very important. Did I have fun doing skits? More fun than it's legal to have. I really did, and I enjoyed making the student body laugh. I really did. But I did not want to carry that beyond where I was in school. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to change it. And by the way, after that, it was never when you walked out onto the platform to do a skit, there was a low-level laughter that came from the student body. So, the question I guess I ask us is, are we concerned about the name that we have? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I realize that. I know it. However, a good name can easily be ruined and easily forgotten about, even by the best of God's people.